beginning at verse number 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity the sea and the waves roar. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now turning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, the first 7 verses. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. You may be seated, and the Lord bless you. When I read the 6th verse of the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, I was very deeply impressed by what I found. There are so many times that so many things are overlooked when we read the Bible. In verse number 6, tucked away in about the middle of the verse, is a text that I want to use. Let me read the entire verse. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. I want to use this little phrase. It's tucked away in chapter 6, or rather verse 6 in chapter 24, Matthew. It's just tucked away as a little nugget of truth. See that you be not troubled. After he told them what was coming upon the earth, he told them there'd be wars and rumors of wars, and he simply added a little nugget of truth, tucked it away in verse number 6. See that you be not troubled. 6 of the most important words that Jesus ever talked about. He gives us a hope. He said, see that you be not troubled. We are living tonight in a troubled world, and I think we can all agree to that. We're living in a troubled world. The disciples asked him in private, saying, Master, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? When you talk to people about the end is coming, they will laugh in your face. But I'm here to preach to you tonight that Christ is coming and the end of the world is coming. Now, that's what Jesus said. The disciples went to the Master and said, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Christ answered their question by giving them a number of signs that they would know that he would return again, and that very soon. See that you be not troubled is more relevant to this generation than to any generation since Jesus Christ spoke these words. It's more relevant to this generation. That's why it's so hard to get the message over to people that Christ is coming and the end of the world is coming. If everybody in this room tonight only knew how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ, there would not be a dry eye in this house. There would not be a space left in this church but what somebody would be kneeling and asking God to have mercy upon their soul. Jesus answered and said unto them and told them a number of signs that would take place prior to His coming. First, He said, there would be wars and rumors of wars. Nation would rise against nation, and kingdom would rise against kingdom. Now, I wonder if we can all relate to what Jesus said. Are we living when kingdom is rising against kingdom? Are we living when there are wars and rumors of wars? But in the midst of it all, He said, see that you be not troubled. This message was not given to the sinner. This message was given to the disciples of Jesus Christ. See that you be not troubled. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom will rise against kingdom. Jesus gave this message to the redeemed saints. See that you be not troubled. I'm going to preach tonight that in a troubled world, that individuals can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. This world is in trouble tonight. This is an unbelieving world, and it's troubled. They are fearful. They are very insecure. A woman that is high in the government in Washington, I heard her say the other day on a news broadcast, she said, with this recession or depression that we are having right now, unless there is an upturn in the economy very shortly, there's going to be more suicides than you ever heard about. She said, it's going to produce it. You that are old enough to remember the Great Depression in the early 30s and the late 29s, you remember what happened in late 29 and in the early 30s. Men went to bed with a bank account. They went to bed, rich men and women, and suddenly woke up in the morning. The bottom had fell out of everything, and they were as poor as they could be. They jumped out of hotel rooms. They blew their brains out by the hundreds all over the country. Let me tell you, this world tonight is in trouble. You might not realize it, but this world is very insecure. It's in trouble, and it's trembling tonight. Man has lost his way. Let me repeat that. Man has lost his way tonight. They're traveling, but they do not know where they are going. They have depended upon their foolish wisdom. Man's wisdom will never get you into the kingdom of God. But I'm here to tell you that man has lost his way. Men are struggling in the night because they have rejected the wisdom of God, and they're leaning upon their own foolish wisdom. They have rejected the wisdom of God. You hear me? Jesus plainly said that in the last days that the hearts of men would fail them for fear. The hearts of men would fail them for fear. When men begin to face the reality of life, when they begin to face the reality that Christ is coming and the end of the world is coming, the Bible said they would be so fearful until their hearts would fail them for fear. Thank God there's something in this book tonight that gives me a hope. I said there's something in this book tonight that gives me a hope. There is a hope, and it's a lively hope. It's not a dead hope. It's not worn out. This book is an old-fashioned book, but yet it's just as up-to-date as in a book that you ever read in all of your life. This book tells you about things that has been. It tells you about things that's happening right now. And it tells you about things that's going to happen in the future. Oh, what shall be the sign of thy coming And at the end of the world, if anybody from this church goes to hell, you're going to hell with your eyes wide open. You've heard it declared. You've heard it preached. And it's time tonight to have a revival in this church. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? How do we know that we are near? Number one, wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. The Middle East is not settled by a long way. Did you know that Israel tonight has enough ammunition and war materials stashed away to fight for 3 years and a half if she gets no war materials from anybody else? 3 years and a half she can fight. Everybody in that world is against Israel. But you hear me tonight, God chose those people through Abraham. There will be a day in the ending in Revelation 19 when all the nations of the world are going to be gathered against Jerusalem to battle. Zechariah and Revelation 19 will explain that fact. They're going to march against Jerusalem to battle. But suddenly with their eyes turned toward heaven, they're going to see a scene that they never saw before. They're going to see the heavens split wide open. They're going to see a rider coming, seated upon a white charger. They're going to see a white horse. They're going to see a rider seated upon him. And he's going to have on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Nation is rising against nation. Maybe you have overlooked some of the newscasts and some of the articles that you can pick up in magazines and newspapers. Iran and Iraq, they started a war some time ago. You don't hear too much about it now. But Iran has in her mind to topple Iraq and set up a government that would be pleasing to Iran. And whether you realize it or not, Iran is the old original Persia. The prophet Ezekiel declares that Persia and Russia would go together. And they're going to link up just as sure as that book is true. Now, whether you realize it or not, those two little countries, Iran and Iraq, in these two countries, there are 94 billion barrels of oil in those two countries. Russia, all she has to do is to move through Iran. That's a wide open gate to the Persian Gulf. And Russia has to have oil to operate her war machine. She wants to get her paws on the Persian Gulf. That's what she has longed for so, so long. Let me tell you, friend, we are not at peace tonight. The world is troubled. The world is disturbed. The leaders of our country are disturbed tonight. The man on the street, he does not know which way to turn. I'll tell you tonight which way to turn. I'll tell the leaders which way to turn. This country should get on their knees tonight and have an old time prayer meeting and get right with God and invite His leadership. But somehow people are not doing that. You know, the Bible said some will trust in horses and some will trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Some will trust in the sword and some in the spear, but we will trust in the name of the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, He's never lost a battle, and praise God, He never will lose a battle. But in all of this commotion, it seems to me that people could realize that the elements above our heads are disturbed. The earth beneath our feet are disturbed. There's an increase in earthquakes every year, and Jesus said that would happen prior to His coming. Every year there is an increase in the number of earthquakes. Everything is in turmoil. It's in real turmoil, disturbed, troubled. The weather above our head is changing. The earth beneath our feet is rumbling. Earthquakes, disturbed. People that's walking on the face of the earth are so disturbed and in turmoil. They do not know which way to turn. They do not know which way to go. But thank God, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You may say, preacher, in the midst of all that's going on, can a man really have peace? I mean to tell you that the individual can have peace because Jesus included that little nugget of truth right in the middle of verse 6 in Matthew chapter 24 when he told us all the things that's coming on the earth. He said, see that you be not troubled. Hallelujah. There is a peace. There is a joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Notice. See that you are not troubled. Do not let your hope be shaken. The King of Kings is coming. Let the Middle East boil over with its conflict. Let Russia move down against Iran. Let Russia move against China. Whatever might be. Let the nations come together. Let them fight. I have news for you. The King is coming. The King is coming. Let me tell you what's happening. The mark of the beast is on its way. The great worldwide church is on its way. There will be a political kingdom, and there will be what is known as a religious kingdom. It will be a false religion. In the tribulation period, the Antichrist will have full sway of the whole world. He has a number, and it's a man. The Antichrist is a man. The Antichrist is not a systemized form of government. It's a man. Although he will occupy a seat at the head of the systemized form of government. But his number is 666. That's the number of man. God's number is 7, which denotes perfection. Man is under God. He's not perfect. That's the number of a man. 666. That will be a political kingdom. Then along comes the false prophet. He will head up a false religious system in the tribulation period. Oh, it will go for a while as a church, but it's a false church. And you let me tell you tonight, the churches are on their way tonight to join up with this mother of harlots, this false religious system, just as sure as I'm talking to you tonight. There'll be a day when everything that came out of Babylon, they're going back to Babylon. Everything that came out of false doctrine, they're going back to false doctrine. There'll be a day when all of the daughters are going marching home. They're going back to mama. But when they go to mother, you and I are going home to father. Hallelujah. That's God. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid to stand and lift my voice and preach to you tonight. You must repent. You must be baptized in water. But it must be done right. You must have the right name. You must have the formula that the apostles used. And that was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be and must be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. I was really happy one night in the camp meeting in California. There was a young man in his early 20s and a girl that came with him. They looked like they just walked off the street. Oh, that man had never been to church, never been to no kind of church. He came in that night, heard the message, got under conviction. He came, stood at the front of the pulpit. And I saw immediately he needed help. Had on no sports shirt with no sleeves in it. He was dressed up with gold chains and all around his neck. And I've often wondered about that. You see, I have noticed that black people wear their chains around their ankles and the white folks wear their chains around the neck. I didn't expect you to shout. Let that soak in for a minute. Superstitious. And I've never known why men... Well, let me get off of that. And now, don't you close up on me. Because, listen, I will go to preaching, sure enough. A man showed me a car chain, his keys on it, and it had a rabbit's foot. I said, what's got that rabbit foot on there for? He said, good luck. I said, that don't look like good luck to me. I said, what about the rabbit? He had 4 feet, but he's lost one. I said, because you got it. I said, that ain't no good luck. I said, I'd throw that thing away. All this stuff about good luck, fortune telling, superstition. Oh, a lot of people feed on that junk. But when you come down to preach it, the apostolic truth, they back away from it like they're so afraid. Give me the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't let men trust the luck. Let men trust in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let men trust in Jesus Christ. Don't put your faith in a religious system that does not preach the truth, but put your faith in Him that conquered death, hell, and the grave, and arose on the third day. He went to heaven, and one day He's coming back just as sure as He went away. What shall be the sign of Thy coming? Tell me, Master, what it's going to be. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. I saw the big ads was put in the papers all over the country. And I have one of them. That on a certain day this year, back in the spring of the year, the Christ was going to make His announcement. Well, I kept waiting, but He never made His announcement. If a man would walk in this building tonight and say that he is Jesus Christ, I wouldn't believe him. Because the Lord told me not to. The Lord said, when you hear somebody say, here, I'm the Christ. Somebody say, here, I'm the Christ. He said, don't believe them. Christ is in heaven. He's going to come back someday. But no long-bearded man that's walking down the highway with no sandals on and an old white robe around him, let him tell me he's Jesus Christ. He's an imposter. He's not Jesus Christ. When I see Jesus Christ, He's coming back with all the power and all the glory that heaven can afford. Brother Bibbs, up in Indiana, he was district superintendent for many years. Brother Bibbs has now retired. He's very witty. I've known him for years. And he was in a service one night, and after the service, a man walked up. He stuck out his hand. He said, I'm Jesus Christ. He said, what's your name? Brother Bibbs said, I'm Doubting Thomas. I am too. I am too. When they say I'm Christ, don't believe it. When somebody tells you you can't get the Holy Ghost, you don't believe that. Because you can. I preached one time to a man. He was like a little child. He was a man, married and had children. He didn't know one thing in the world about this book I hold in my hand. He didn't know anything. I took the Bible and sat down like a child. I taught him the Word of God, and that's when I got the Holy Ghost. Went out on a job and talking about the Holy Ghost. Why? One fellow said, you can't receive it. That man said, what am I going to do? He said, I've already received it. He was so amazed. He said, what am I going to do with it? He said, I've already received it. Brother, you talk to somebody that's really received the Holy Ghost. I mean, that really prayed through. I mean, really got the goods. Hallelujah. When this came to my part of the country, they said it'll soon blow over. And it did all over the country. And it's still blowing tonight. Hallelujah. Thousands are praying for everywhere. Everywhere they're getting the Holy Ghost. Everywhere. Hallelujah. But some will say, I'm the Christ. Don't believe it, because they're not the Christ. The true Christ is in heaven. You see, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world right now. And when you say the spirit of Antichrist, you're talking about the spirit of the lawless one. Now, here's another great outstanding sign. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Men, they have more knowledge, worldly knowledge, wisdom, than has ever been known. Men are becoming wiser. Man has invented a power that will destroy the human race from the face of the earth. They got so smart until they shot a rocket in outer space and they put men on the moon. I'm glad when the men got over there that they did not find any people. If they had, they would have wanted foreign aid and we'd give it to them. I'm glad they didn't find anybody when they got over there. People don't realize how close we are. All the signs are being fulfilled. Notice carefully. This country, and you hear what I say, in the next short period of years, they're going to spend well over $1 trillion for defense in this country. Well over $1 trillion. What could be done with that money if it was not for the danger of war? What could be done with well over $1 trillion? Well, that's more money than we get here on Sunday night. It boggles my mind when I think about that much money. $1 trillion. I cannot conceive it. I went to Washington one time. It's been several years ago. That's when they wasn't spending it quite as much, I guess, as they are now. And I went to where they print paper money. And when I got down in that place, I never saw so much money. They had it stacked up in bales, just like you'd bale up hay. And they spent it in bales, too. They had it all stacked up. And I turned to the guy and I said, I feel like taking up an offering right here. I never felt more like taking up an offering in all my life. Man, I never saw as much money. Man, it was just stacked everywhere. Well, he said, I don't believe you can right now. And I said, you think you'd give me a sample of that? He said, no, not today. I said, you think you'd ever let me come back and hold a revival in this place? I never saw as much money just stacked up everywhere in bales. And I just laid my hand on bale after bale after bale. Oh, money, money, money. Money used to talk, but now I don't even stop long enough to start a conversation. It's here today and gone tomorrow. That's right. Just as fast as you get it, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Where are we tonight? In a world of wisdom, in a world of knowledge, but yet void of the understanding of God. That's the kind of wisdom we need tonight. Someone said, you folks are so simple. I'll admit it. But we're simple enough to believe. I said, we're simple enough to believe what the Bible said. I want to always keep myself like that. Just as simple as I can be. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Spending money to defend this country. Then we look at another little thing. It's been hidden away here. Pestilence. All that people has ever seen about that prophecy is bugs and grasshoppers that destroys the crops and the gardens. Back a year or so ago in the Northwest, there was a plague of grasshoppers that eat that country up. Just went through and eat it up. You plant a garden and you've got to spend more money on poison than you make out of your garden to keep the bugs and the beetles off. But when you look at the word pestilent, it means a whole lot more than creeping insects. It means diseases. Diseases. There's more different kinds of sickness now than there has ever been. And the Bible said it would come in the last days. Sicknesses. Sicknesses of all kinds. I heard on the radio just this week, this year in America alone, 430,000 people will die of cancer in this country. Of all the knowledge, of all the medical knowledge that people possess, they've never been able to find out the cause of cancer. 430,000 will die this year in this country alone by that dreadful disease of cancer. There may be a dozen people in this room tonight. You have enough cancer germs in you to kill you by this time next year. I've talked to people that were healthy, young men. I know a young man that was only a little over 20 years old. He got sick. They took him to the hospital. And they found that he was eaten up with cancer. Had never had no symptoms of it, doing fine until all at once it was too late to do anything for him. Listen, let me tell you. There is one place to go for safety tonight. It's not behind a gun. It's not in a storm shelter somewhere. But I'll tell you, the safe place to hide is to go to the name of Jesus Christ. That's the safe place tonight. That's the place to hide, is in Jesus' name. I want to turn to John chapter 14 and verse 27. Here is a scripture that has really impressed me as I studied my Bible this afternoon. I came to this scripture and I read it all afresh again. Here is what the Bible said. Jesus talking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. After I preach what I have tonight, let me make this statement, and maybe it's going to sound, well, Brother Gamlin, you have contradicted everything you said. No, I'm not going to do that when I make you understand what I'm talking about. You can be in trouble up to your neck and still not be troubled. You can be in trouble up to here and still not be troubled, not be afraid. If you let every little thing discourage you and detour you from walking with God, I'm praying for you tonight. The instructions that my Lord gave was, let not your heart be troubled and don't even let it be afraid. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. That is, outside you'll have pressure. You'll have pressure. You'll have disappointments. You'll have temptations. And you'll have a lot of unpleasant things that'll come your way. But He said, in me you shall have peace. Hallelujah. In me you shall have peace. Though the world is in turmoil, that individual can have the peace of God. I want a scripture right quick. Psalm chapter 27, verses 4 and 5. I'd like to take you to Acts chapter 27, and I want to explain to you what I meant when I said you could be in trouble and yet not be troubled. You know, Paul was a prisoner on a ship, and he warned the sailors not to loose the ship and sail because he said, we're going to be in trouble if we do. But they would not listen to him, and they loosed the ship and they set sail. And they ran into a storm. They ran into a storm. And the scripture said that in the midst of this storm, they unloaded the ship. They'd done everything possible to save themselves. And one day, Paul appeared before that great group of men, sailors. He said, men, I have a message for you. He said, an angel of the Lord stood by me in the night and said, not a man on this ship is going to lose his life. Paul was in a barrel of trouble. Almost a shipwreck. Raging sea. High waves. But one night an angel came to him and gave him the assurance, Paul, don't worry about this, son, because the storm, the ship, not a man is going to lose his life in this storm. And sure enough, when the ship began to break up, why, they wanted to kill all the prisoners because they were afraid they'd swim out and escape. Paul said, don't touch anybody. Everything's going to be all right because an angel of the Lord told me that nobody was going to lose their lives. And here's what happened. When the ship broke up, some of the men did swim to shore. Those that could swim, they just struck out swimming. And the others, when the ship began to break up, a piece of board here and a piece of ship here, and the Bible said they clung to it and they went to the shore and they were saved. Listen, let me tell you tonight. Did you know that it's taking sickness on somebody's part to bring you to God? It has taken great trials to bring somebody to God. Some of you came swimming in on a board of sickness, a board of disappointment, a board. But however you got to God, thank God you found Him. Hallelujah. Thank God you found Him. Sometimes it takes a death in the family to bring somebody to God. Sometimes it takes a great trial. Sometimes the bottom falls out of everything. You've got family problems. Things that are so unpleasant. But you got a hold of that board and you started your prayer life. And God just brought you right on the shore. Hallelujah. He brought you right on the shore. I thank God for that tonight. Hallelujah. Whatever board that you have to cling to tonight, get a hold of it and come to God before it's too late. Hallelujah. Get a hold of that board tonight and come to God before it's too late. Oh, that's what happened to him. Now before I read Psalms, I want to show you what the Bible said was going to happen in the last days. I'm just preaching to you tonight. And if I've never seen you before, to you I've just blocked you out of my mind and I'm just preaching, just like I was preaching to brand new people that I'd never seen before in all of my life. And I know when I'm preaching and I know when I'm fooling around, and I ain't a fooling around tonight. Listen, I'm giving you what the Bible says. It's time for this church to perk up and get a hold of God and pray like you've never prayed before. This thing is about ready to wind up. Here is what the Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That means dangerous times. It's a shame on this country tonight that you've got to guard your property to keep somebody from stealing. It's a shame that you can't leave home unless you've got a guard around your house to keep the thieves from breaking through. And whether you realize it or not, but Washington, they are very, very sensitive to the needs and the wants of the people. And I heard a broadcast this afternoon from CBS, and this is what they're doing right now. They're going to rush to President Reagan a bill right now because the public is demanding. They're going to make it hard on the criminals. Well, they're living better than we are. There's no fat man weighed close to 500 pounds up here in the East, raped a 14-year-old girl. And they put him in a jail, and because it didn't have air conditioning, they took him out. Big old gob of fat. Listen, he should have been put in prison. That kind of a man that will violate a 14-year-old girl. Oh, listen, you hear me tonight, friend. Perilous times, dangerous times. Dangerous times. Just walking in these stores all over this area. Give me your money. And they give it to them. Never catch nobody, but they get the money. Going with it. Over here in Beaumont, I never heard so much of robbery. A jewelry store. They just walk up in daylight, break open a window, and grab up a whole lot of diamond watches and rings, and here they go with them. Strange, dangerous times. I'd read time after time that it was an aggravated robbery. Anytime anybody would rob me, it would be an aggravated robbery. Because I sure wouldn't like it. No, sir, I wouldn't like it. You hear me tonight, perilous times. That's exactly where we are right now. Dangerous times. Someone will knock you in the head for $5 and laugh at you. That's why I keep, when I'm by myself, I keep the right side of my door over here locked. And you'd better do it too. Because you don't know what the people that drive up to a red light and somebody just step off the curb and just open your door. Well, the people around you, they think that you'd waiting on that fella. And so he just steps in, puts a little, not a toy pistol, but one of them realities in your side and says, I want to go to New Orleans. And brother, you'll go to New Orleans. Perilous times. Dangerous times. Hear me tonight. Men shall be lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. I wish I had about 30 minutes to preach to you young people. I wish I had about 30 minutes to preach to you all. Young people don't have any respect for their parents, now it's the old man and the old woman. Let me see what the old woman says about it. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. How long has it been since you young people walked up to your parents and said, I'm thankful that you are my mother and my father? Unthankful. Unholy, the Bible says. So many people are unthankful. You know, people used to pray when they go to the table. They just bow their heads and thank God for the food. But now they all dive in. Never thank God for nothing. The old farmer went to town one day and he had enough respect for God when he ordered his meal and got it. He bowed his head and in a clear voice he gave thanks to God. A bunch of these smart alecks sitting over at another table said, Say, old man, does everybody do that where you come from? He said, Everybody but the hogs. Unthankful, unholy, proud, boasters, blasphemers. That's what I'm doing. Hallelujah. Have you got a little more time that you'd like to spend with me tonight? Listen, I'm stirred up. I'll be frank with you. You know, the preacher has to get stirred up too every once in a while. And I've been talking to God all this past week. And listen, I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up. My soul is stirred. And the Scripture also gave a predominant sign. The love of many shall wax cold. Cold as a refrigerator. Cold. Proud. And the Bible said it's going to wax worse and worse to the end. It's not going to get any better. It's going to wax worse and worse. I read this week where a lot of men that's been laid off from jobs, if this economy ever makes the upturn, those jobs won't be there no more. There's going to be a million jobs that was available. There won't even be a million jobs. They're going to do away with them. It's all headed to the end. It's going to come under the worldwide system, and you might as well get ready for the rapture. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. You see, the mark of the beast is coming. The false prophet is coming. The seven plagues of Revelation is coming. The wrath of God is coming. The tribulation period is coming. The battle of Armageddon is coming. But thank God Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is coming. Unthankful. Unholy. Disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. That's a sin. I said it's a sin. Without natural affection. Truth breakers. False accusers. Fears. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. Haman. Lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of God. Every time I'd come to church for about three nights, I'd notice over here at this movie house, man, they just lined up, whole big string of them. I said, what's going on over there? They said, Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds. He's putting on the biggest little chicken house in Texas. I don't know a thing about Burt Reynolds. I don't know a thing in the world about Dolly Parton. And you'd be surprised to know that the people that listen to me talk right now, that on the inside of you, if you'd flash up here movie stars, one by one, that you'd recognize them. But you put characters of the Bible up there, you wouldn't even know Job from St. Peter. That I don't have time to read the Bible. What about all that other junk you got in your house? When you realize the end is coming, when you realize the end is here, you're not going to be interested in what they're putting on over there. You're not going to be interested in the latest book that's out on the market. The latest love story, you're not going to be interested in that. But you're going to be checking your oil to see if you've got enough on the inside to be ready to meet the Lord when He comes again. was in a place of business the other day, and there's a girl that's going to wait on me. So she was real busy writing. And when she looked up, her eyes looked like two burnt holes in a saddle blanket. I never saw such a gob of stuff in my life. I don't know what to call it. Eyeshadow, I guess. Man, her natural beauty would have been a whole lot better looking than that. It's time to clean up and get ready to meet Jesus Christ. Shed all that junk you got on. Get it off. Lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you. It's time to straighten up and get right and get ready to meet Jesus Christ. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I believe there is a distinction between the believer and the unbeliever, the saint and the sinner. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, but we have let so many things overcome us. I'm not as strong as I used to be. I used to go to prayer meetings, and I used to read my Bible. I used to go to Sunday school, and I used to do this, and I used to do that. It's not what you used to do. What are you doing tonight? You see, it's a gradual slack off. Well, now, a man told me not long ago, he said, I've slacked up on coming to church. He said, when I miss one time, it's easier to miss a second time. And when I miss the second time, then it's much easier to miss the third time. I said, you better get back in as quick as you can. I said, you're living on slippery ground right now. You might slip off into hell in a minute. Let me tell you, I'm an old-fashioned preacher. I'm an old-fashioned preacher. I never went to Bible college. I never went to Bible school. And maybe you've already detected that. But I believe, praise God, the revelation that I've had from God is enough for me to step out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to tell you that you've got to get right with God. Some of you tonight better select you a board out there because you are out at sea and the ship's already broke up. You better get a hold of that board tonight and come swimming in because the time is so short. I said the time is so short. Let not your heart be troubled. Lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of God, you won't be interested in a lot of this junk when you know the end has come. I said when the end has come. I read last week, there's a boy came from Mexico, crossed the border in a car. And the officials got suspicious. They stopped him. They searched that car. There was $8 million worth of cocaine. If that boy could have just made it to the States, $8 million. You talk about a high heel tie. And you talk about the snorting going on everywhere. You know, now, let's just talk a minute. You see, the world will say we're crazy for coming to church like we come to church. And here they are, ruining their bodies. I read the other day where the plastic surgeons in this country are getting rich. They have snorted so much of that cocaine until it has destroyed the inside of their nose, and they're having to rebuild the inside of their nose, and they're getting rich off it. And people don't realize, young men that could have amounted to something, they let that get a hold of them, drink, alcohol, dope, cocaine, speed, whatever, take a trip. Well, what does it cost you to take a trip? You know what? Listen, I'm taking a trip tonight. And when I get home, I'm going to feel good about it. Hallelujah. When I get home, I'm going to feel good about it. Oh, I'm drinking tonight, but it's the new wine. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm telling you, that's how it ought to be. Well now, Brother Gamblin, the church is not what it used to be. Who makes up the church? You. No, it's not the church, it's you. It's not what you used to be. I've been told that the people are hungry to hear me preach to them. And if I knew that anybody would come, I'd just square off and have a revival right here by myself. Praise God. Everywhere I've been this summer, people are just crying for preaching. They're just crying for preaching. They're shouting over preaching, and that's the kind of shouting I like. If you can shout over God's Word, go to it, brother. Praise God. And if you can't shout, get to where you can. Proud. God said He'd pour out this Spirit upon all flesh, but there's one kind of flesh He just won't pour it out upon. That's proud flesh. I'm so proud. What have you got to be proud of? Oh, you don't know where I came from. Well, maybe I don't, but you're just like everybody else. You're just like everybody else. I'm not ashamed to tell you where I came from. I was born and reared right behind the post office, 12 miles. And we had running water in our house. You grabbed a bucket, run outside and got it. I ain't ashamed to tell you where I came from. And we had a folding bathtub. It was a number 10 wash tub. You fold up and got in it. I ain't ashamed to tell you where I came from. And I'm not ashamed to tell you where I'm going. Hallelujah. Not ashamed to tell you where I'm going. And I'm not ashamed to tell you who I'm going to see when I get over there. Hallelujah. Peace in the time of the storm. Let's go to Psalms chapter 27, verse 1. And let's see what the psalmist instructed us. What was his life? What did he say? Notice carefully. Psalms 27, verse 4.
One thing have I desired.
One thing have I desired of the Lord.
That will I seek after.
I have desired it so much until I will seek after it. I will pursue it. I will make it the chief aim of my life. I will desire it. That's why businessmen make a success. They pursue their business. They build up a business because they pursue it. But here's the most important business right here. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord.
In the house of the Lord. Once a year.
All the days of my life.
Thanksgiving.
All the days of my life.
Christmas.
All the days of my life.
Easter.
All the days of my life.
All the days of my life. Oh, how beautiful He is here tonight. To behold the beauty of the Lord.
And to inquire in His temple.
For in the time of trouble. In the time of the condition that's going on right now in this generation. The church is a place of safety. It's a place of refuge. It means more than brick, concrete, and steel and beautiful lights. Oh, the church is a body of baptized believers in Jesus Christ. And when you are baptized by one Spirit into one body, then you reach the place of safety, the zone of safety. I stood one time and watched. I was in my car and I watched a little boy and his mother. They stepped to the curb and he'd step out and then he'd step back. He'd step out and then he'd step back and he got a hold of his mother's hand. And when the light changed, he walked like a little man across that street. You know why? He had his little hand in the hand of his mother. And he knew everything was going to be all right. Listen, I can walk through danger tonight. I can just walk right through this world. You know why? Because I've got my hand placed in the nail-scarred hand of the Master. Hallelujah. Oh, I can walk tonight. Praise God, I can walk through danger. I can walk through trials. I can walk through disappointments. I can walk through difficulties because I know who I have my trust in tonight. My hand is laid in the nail-scarred hand of the Master. And my Master said, I'll never leave you, but I'll go with you. I'll be with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. Oh, I've desired it. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. all the days of my life.
Praise the Lord.
Read it.
For in the time of trouble, He will hide me
in His pavilion.
In the secret place
of His tabernacle.
Shall He hide me?
He shall set me upon a rock.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we found the place to hide. We found the place to hide. Would you stand with me tonight with your hands uplifted? Let's give thanks to God tonight because we found the place to hide. The place to hide. Hallelujah. Oh, the place to hide. The place to hide.